You might like to turn in your Bible to the Gospel of John and chapter 20. Perhaps we can look to the Lord in a word of prayer. And our God and Father, we've opened thy love letter, thy word. So help us, God, you gave it, you recorded it, you have kept it for us, that we would have the advantage of understanding that which those around you had before you were crucified. And our God, we're going to thank you very, very much. In Christ's name, amen. And in our exercise, we have found that Mary, in order to get this, just to remind you, hold your finger here a minute and go over with me to Mark, the Gospel of Mark and chapter 16. Mark chapter 16. And we're looking at his resurrection appearances. And chapter 16, verse 9. When Jesus was risen early the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, Magdalene, out of whom he had cast seven demons. One devil, many demons. And so she had been wonderfully, wonderfully saved from a demonic possession, from being in demonic possession. And in the process, she's the first one that he spoke to. Others were there looking at an empty tomb, but she's the first one he spoke to personally. So, having said that, back over to John chapter 20. And in John chapter 20, you remember, we read verse 15, 16, 17. And Martha goes, Mary goes and to the tomb. She tells Peter and John. John go running to the tomb after she sees it's open. They see the tomb open. They look inside. Run back to where they were. Mary, in the process, is headed back there. And Peter and John's only saw an empty tomb. Mary goes back, and in the process, she looks in, sees everything that they did, with the addition of when they see the body, the wrappings, and the sweatband around the neck, hold the neck in place, wrapped up out separately next over here. So when she goes back, she has the advantage of having an angel on each end of the wrappings. And she has that. Now remember what he's depicting. If you were a high priest in the Old Testament and you went in the Holy of Holies on the Day of Atonement, you would find the ark, and on top of the ark is the golden mercy seat, and on top of the mercy seat on each side are two golden cherubim, angels looking down. Now, with that in mind, think of what you see. Here's the wrapping with no body. Here's where the headband was. Here's the headband, and there's the angels on each side, like the mercy seat. So she has a wonderful thing that she's seeing. She's seeing that. But she is of such a nature that she's looking for that dead body. And therefore, the empty wrappings, all of the phenomenal, awesome evidence, the body's missing, awesomely not. It's just missing in God's marvelous kindness in a way that gives you absolute assurance. It's not the normal thing. But she couldn't see that. She didn't see that. And she's so set. Her devotion, her commitment, God had delivered her. She was there, a faithful follower. And our Lord, I'm sure she appreciated our Lord's commitment to the will of God, his marvelous person, his consistency. She was taken up with it all. And she was a devoted follower of him. Now, having said that, and she followed him, she did. She gave her life to him, as it were. But without the body, there's no memories, there's no flowers, there's no grave. What do we do? Because that's all she had, was a living, personal Christ she could look at. And now she had a dead body, which she can't find. Her whole life was committed to that understanding. It was totally missing what God was after. She just didn't have it. Do you know how many people have an understanding of Christendom, Catholics, cults, Christianity? All kinds of thinking they have of whatever it is they think it is to know God, to be a Christian, to go to church, take communion even. What did they think? How real is it? How real is what they're thinking? Mary, it's unreal. She's missing out on everything. And God in his wonderful, wonderful kindness is going to go. And remember, our Lord said in 1 Corinthians 15 and 19 and that, if you don't have the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, if there is no resurrection, it is all vanity, chasing the wind, useless, worthless. Life is nothing. All we got is here and now and done. If there's no resurrection, that there is. And therefore, here's Martha, Mary, I should say. I picked that up last week, I guess, Martha. I like Martha. She was busy in the house taking care of everything when they had the Lord for dinner. And Mary sat down at his feet and listened wonderfully. And Mary chose the good part. Martha was busy trying to get the potatoes and everything. And then she went and complained because Mary wasn't getting up off her knees and come and help her. Come and help me serve. How can I serve all these things? So Martha, yeah, Martha. So Martha's are like that. They aren't sitting like Mary. But this Mary Magdalene, this Mary, remember she lived in a little town on the west side of the Sea of Galilee, Magdalena. And in the process, she's there, and in verse chapter 20, she's hanging on to everything. And when things come to an end in her mind as our Lord, it's all over. So, chapter 20, you remember, the Lord appeared to her, she turned around, and when the Lord spoke to her finally, as we did that last time a little bit, Mary saith, verse 16, Jesus saith unto her, Mary, she turned herself and saith unto him, Rabboni, teacher, master, that is to say, master. Jesus saith unto her, touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father, and go to my brethren, and say unto them, I will ascend unto my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God. Now, and remember we looked at the little verb, touch me not, it's a command in the present tense, that she was literally stop clinging to me. She grabbed him. She didn't want to lose the body. She was looking for the body, as we shared last time, in a desperate, committed manner. And now that here is his, here's a voice, here he is, and she's grabbing him. She's not going to lose him this time. Not going to lose him. And our Lord rebuked her for clinging to him. And in the process, he had to rise again and be ascended to heaven, because that's the only place that can help her. If you want Jesus resurrected, what good would it do her? Resurrected, he paid the price, but Mary would be bankrupt. Mary wouldn't have anything better. She'd have nothing. She'd have him. The same old thing day in and day out. He had everything, she had nothing. He had life, she had no life. He had an awesome understanding of love, the love of God. She did. No love, no life, no lordship, sovereignty of God. She didn't have that either. She didn't have anything. So to have it, God said, stop clinging to me. I've got to go and make something possible that is impossible, that I have now made possible by going to the cross and rising again. Therefore, as we shared together in Hebrews in chapter 9, you remember as we did that in chapter 9, just to pick it up again, he ascended. I must ascend to my Father. I must go to him. Remember in Ephesians, without turning there, you're looking at Hebrews and in chapter 9. And there, verse 24. For Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now, right now, to appear in the presence of God for, on behalf of us, the word appear, to show plainly, to show clearly, to make very wonderfully true that God is going to show the believers that God has made his wonderful saving grace that makes possible all the saved believers that are going to be saved. And God is to see, God the Father is to see all of the saved believers that have received the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. God the Father is to see them. The Lamb of God slain before the foundation of the world. Christ died for all. And here are those that are saved. And God in Christ sees them, shows them in a most wonderful way. Now, having said that, and he has to do that. Why? So that he can send the Spirit of God, and the Spirit of God can do wonderful things. Now, what do we know? Well, was Mary in the upper room? Chapter 13 through 17? No. Was Mary with him most of the time? She was with him sometimes, but she wasn't there. What was she missing? Peter, James, and John are in the same state, but they have something going for them that she didn't have. And therefore, we come to verse 7, John chapter 20, and in verse 17. And you'll note what was missing. She heard it, but she didn't understand it. Jesus saith unto her, touch me not, stop clinging to me, stop holding me. For reason, I am not yet ascended to my Father, but on the other hand, and you go to my brethren and say to them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, to my God and in your God. Okay, now that's personal. Now, she didn't have any of that. She didn't. So, look at it. What did she miss? What would she have on the day of Pentecost, Acts chapter 2, when the Spirit of God made all these wonderful truths possible? Now, reality. Here we are going. The brethren. Go to the brethren. All right? Well, go to the brethren. Like the brother. In what way? What way, brother? Family. What way, family? Matthew chapter 12. In Matthew chapter 12, as you know, in the light of the context of verse 46, chapter 12, verse 46, while he yet talked to the people, behold, his mother and his brethren, that's, there they are, half-brothers and half-sisters, stood without desiring to speak with him. Then one said unto him, behold, thy mother and thy brethren, that's how everyone understood it, that's how we understand, we understand our relation, mother, father, son, daughter, parents, wife, husband, we understand relationships, or do we? Verse 46, stood without desiring to speak. Verse 47, behold, my mother and thy brethren stand without desiring to speak with thee. Verse 48. But he answered and said unto them and him that told them, who is my mother and who are my brethren? He's going to help them. See, hang on. And he stretched forth his hand toward his disciples and said, behold, he spread his, just think of the room full of people, and he brings his hand around, acknowledging all of them. Behold, my mother and my brethren, for whosoever shall do the will of my Father which is in heaven, the same is my brother and sister and mother. That's pretty much. Now, you have your mother, brothers, and sisters. God said, I have mine. You have them in the flesh, and they're all going to die. And all those relationships are frail and fragile at the best. They're all going. I have a relationship that's different than yours. I'm going to save them and take them out of this world, and I'm going to bring them into God, the family of God, in a most wonderful, wonderful way. I'm going to bring them into the family of God so that they're able to be, to me, family. Family. What do you mean, family? Just like brother, brother, sister, mother. Like that family. That's a family. That's my family. All people, unless you're saved, you have the same. If we have the same over in this side and this side, we're of one. We have the same Lord. We have the same life. We have the same love. We have the same Father. That's what makes us different. Different. Mary just didn't understand that. See, everything was here and now. She didn't understand trying to make your family precious and your enemy and all the different things, trying to make it all work. When you already know it's all faulty and you do the best you can in every way you can with everybody you can. Now, so therefore, over if I can, Matthew 28. And here's our Lord after telling to the angel, telling him to the disciples at his resurrection, chapter 28, if I can, in verse 10. Then said Jesus unto them, be not afraid. Go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there they shall see me. He uses it again. My brethren. But his mother and father and brother and sister, no. They are my brethren. They will, some may get saved, but they aren't. That's somebody. No, not. I'm looking for what God has done. What has God done? Over to Hebrews and chapter 2. Hebrews and chapter 2. And in Hebrews chapter 2, if I can, and you will note, picking up the little context, in verse 9, we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. 4, it became him for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. 4, verse 11, both he that sanctifieth, and they who are sanctified are all of one, all of one. God doing the sanctifying, the Lord Jesus, God doing the sanctifying in Christ, when God set him apart. So when the believing heart believes on the Lord Jesus Christ, God takes the believing heart and places them in the wonderful person of Christ. When the believer is in the wonderful person of Christ, he not only is saved, think of 1 Corinthians 1:2, they're saved, they're sanctified. God sanctified his Son. His Son sanctifies the believer. So when? What are we saying now? Watch. For both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one, by whom, which cause, he is not ashamed to call them brethren. A unique relationship to God, made possible in the person of Jesus Christ, who saves us and sanctifies us. And when we're sanctified, we're found in Christ. Hang on. And in Christ, that's where we are. We're brethren, family, in God's. That's the family of all families. I thank God for my earthly family, all gone. But when they were there, that was a nice family. It can never replace this family. Never. Never replace it. You can't replace believers and your relationship to a believer. That's permanent. And so when I get with John over here, whatever it is, we got the same Father, same God, same everything. I can go over here in the street, I don't have that. But I do with the believers. I have that. You can't replace it. Remember the Lord Jesus said in Matthew 10, I did not come to send peace to your family. I sent a sword to save you from all of those relationships that keep you earthbound. That's what it did. Martha, Mary, what are you doing? You're earthbound. You're caught up in living and dying and having a gravesite to see your relatives. You're missing out. She needs to understand, brethren, and what does that translate into? What you read in John 20 and 17. My Father, your Father, my God, your God. It translates into a unique, awesome relationship. Over if you can, please. John. And in John, and in chapter 1, and in John chapter 1, picking up, please. And what do we know? Our Lord is the Word become flesh. And as you know, John 1:1, 2, and 3. Then you go over to verse 14, and you'll note the Word was made flesh, put on a human house, Bethlehem of Judea, and we beheld his glory, looking at the little baby. And the glory is as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. God sent his Son. God sent the Son. The Son in God the Son. God the Father sent God the Son to die on the cross. So when we get, he has a unique relationship to God, our Lord Jesus Christ. John chapter 5. has a unique relationship. Make a difference. John chapter 5, pick up as you read in verse 17. But Jesus answered them, "My Father worketh hitherto, and I work." Therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him, because not only he had broken the Sabbath, but said also that God was his Father. What are you telling Mary? My Father and your Father. He doesn't say our, O-U-R. He says your Father and my Father. No R. Different. Why? God, in his wonderful incarnation, born in Bethlehem of Judea, God took on himself perfect humanity in a perfect way to be a perfect Savior. That's unique. It's that uniqueness that gives us what? That's where we come in. Because my Father and your Father, not our Father, I have a unique relationship to the Father in my perfect humanity. Plus, as God the Son, I have a unique relationship. Sliding over if I can. And if I can. Over chapter 5. And having done that, 17, slide over to verse 19. Then answered Jesus and said unto them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do. For what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son." So he has a unique relationship to God, as that in a most wonderful, verse 20. Again the Father, he and the Father. "For the Father loveth the Son, and showeth him all things that himself doeth, and he will show him greater works than these, that you may marvel." So, unique relationship to God. Chapter 5, verse 36. And picking it up again. The whole section. In fact, if you looked up Father hundreds and hundreds of times, Father, 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 loaded. God, boy, do you use the word Father. He does use it. Yes, he does. Now, therefore, verse 36, "But I have greater witness than that of John the Baptist. For the works which the Father hath given me to finish, the same works that I do, bear witness of me that the Father has sent me." That's my Father. Your Father, my Father. Two different things. Verse 37. "And the Father himself, which has sent me, hath borne witness of me. Again, you have neither heard his voice at any time, nor seen his shape." You don't know my Father. You don't know my Father. I and my Father are one. I want you to know I'm God. God, that's what he said, the Lord Jesus. I'm God. Over, if I can, to John. And in chapter 14. And in John chapter 14, picking up in verse 6, "Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And if you had known me, you should have known my Father also. For henceforth you know him, and have seen him. And Philip saith unto the Lord, Show us the Father, and it sufficeth that we'll be happy. Show us the Father." Verse 9, "Jesus saith unto him, Have I been so long time with you, and thou hast not known me? Philip, he that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, Show us the Father?" So I have verse 11, show us the Father. Verse 10, "Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works." Verse 11, "Believe me that I am in my Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake." I have a relationship to, he's my father. He's my father. And he's your father. Why is he your father? Why is that true? Why is he your father? Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, so we're going to go and look all over to go Romans. Romans in chapter 6. And on your way to Romans chapter 6, stop at Romans chapter 1. And in Romans in chapter 1, picking up please, if I can. Now you know the prayer, the disciples' prayer, Matthew 6 and 9, Our Father who art in heaven. See, Our Father who art in heaven. Now, here's Romans chapter 1, picking up please. In verse 7. To all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. God our Father. Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. Peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. But remember the uniqueness. Uniqueness. Because God brings us into a special, close, sanctifies us, sets us apart, so that we're able to know and enjoy God in a most wonderful way. Not like our Lord Jesus, he's God. But in the Son of God, we can enjoy God. How are we going to enjoy God? As brethren, as family. He brings us into the family of God in a most wonderful, wonderful way and saves us for his wonderful, 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 wonderful grace. Now, having said that, back over to Romans 6. So we have my Father and your Father. And we have a unique relationship to God. And God grants that wonderful, wonderful relationship to be outworked. So therefore, Romans 6, picking up, please, in verse 3. Know you not that so many of us as were baptized, placed into, immersed into Jesus Christ, were baptized, immersed into his death. Christ took us to the cross. Therefore we are buried with him by baptism unto death, the same, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in newness of life. God has made it wonderful. God has given, raised up his Son in a most wonderful, wonderful way to save us to the uttermost. Now, having said that, keeping that in mind, and therefore, verse 5, for if we have been planted together in the likeness of his resurrection, if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. So God, we're going to have a unique relationship to you in a unique, unique way. And God. So Mary, did you understand? You're going to understand. You have a unique relationship with all the other believers to God the Father, to know him and honor him. Honor him as the Father. God in his sovereignty, his majesty. And remember, we did that the other day. God, Jehovah, Yahweh. God. God does what? God is going to go. He's the Elohim. He's the King. He's the God. Period. The only God. And he shows himself in a very special way to Israel, Yahweh or Jehovah. Wow. Special saving wow. Now, God, what are you going to do? And Christ, born in Bethlehem, Judea, comes along. And he brings Almighty God. God, he is God. But he brings to us and shows to us and makes possible for us a unique relationship to him. How so? You're going to be able to say, Father, my Father, your Father, Romans 8, And in Romans chapter 8, picking up, if I can, directly in the light of verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Sons, sons. Full sons. Full status of sons. Not like children being born into the family. This is they come in as adopted sons. They step into the house, step into God, and God takes away everything that reminds him of earth, crucified it, and puts on us and gives us a unique relationship to God, like in Hebrews chapter 2, to bring us to God. God, how are you going to see us in Christ? I'm going to see you in Christ in a most, most wonderful, wonderful way. And so, God, you're going to see us that way. Yes. And, verse 15, for you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you've received the spirit of adoption, which is what we just said, adoption, whereby we cry, present tense, we cry, Abba, Father, Hebrew and Greek. Father. Father. You can say Father to us human fathers, but when that's nothing, that's good. That's good. Honor your father and mother. That's the bridge between earthly humans and God. Father and mother. How do I? If I have a father and mother, male and female they were, and I have them, and that's what I am. And they're the bridge. Where did I come from? Why am I here? Where am I going? I came from where? I came from my father and mother. Where do they come from? God. God's marvelous creative ability, seed of the woman, seed of the woman, Genesis 3:15, etc. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, Abba, Father, to be able to say that as a way of life, Father, that's a personal word. You can't say that to everybody. You can't say that. Now, God, you're the Father in a most wonderful way. Not only are you the Father, and Mary, you're going to see it. You're going to be able to say, Father, I don't want you to cling to me. I want you to find your home. I want to find my home in your heart. I want you to find your home in my Son, said God the Father. I want you to see you belong to me. I'm your Father. I'm not just a dictator. I'm your Father. Wow. Father. That's an awesome word. No matter what you found it in your life, no matter how you found fathers, men, women, whatever, do not bring that concept or that thinking before God. God is not like anything we know. He's the Father, fully, fully caring. Now, having said that, and now also, he said, my God. So God, our Lord Jesus Christ, as we shared, is God, and we share that together. And in the process, and we say that to say that quickly, think of what we did in our study in the Gospel of John and that, Matthew 27. What did you say at noontime on Calvary's cross when you bore our sin in your own body on the tree? And what did you say? You have an awesome relationship. You're the God-man. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? My God. Different. God to us, yes. But God to him is quite different. My God, he is God. He's the God-man. He's different. My God, I ascend to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. God, you have a unique relationship to God. Being saved isn't fulfilling your dreams and your aspirations and your desires on planet Earth. It's finding out what? That God has died on the cross, created you, died on the cross to save you, is saving you for what? To know him. All of this is passing away. Everything here is going, isn't it? What are you going to have? What is anybody going to have when God wipes it all out? Nothing. No, the only thing you're going to have is here you are. And do you know God as your Savior? And you have a unique relationship. And all of those benefits, Ephesians 1, 1 and 3, all of those benefits are yours. From my Father. I have an earthly Father. My earthly Father could do so many wonderful things for me and with me, by me, for me and with me. He could do them. My Father doesn't even, nothing to my Father God, who brings all the heavenly resources to me. My human Father can't do that. I can't do that. You can't do that. God can do that. How so? You have a unique relationship. Abba, Father, my Father. How many believers exercise that? How many believers exercise their relationship to God? Mary didn't do it. She didn't even have it in her brain at the time. But boy, here it is. So now, having said that, and keeping that in mind in the light of God's wonderful, wonderful grace, over in Romans chapter 8, sliding over to verse 9. And it's Romans chapter 8 and verse 9. But as you are not, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwelleth with you, in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. If Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. God, the Spirit of God's wonderful ministry is to make something wonderfully, wonderfully real. Not only are we to be sons, verse 14, we're to be children, verse 16. Not only are we to be sons and children, sons in full benefits, children growing up in the wonderful, under God our Father. Verse 17, sons, children, joint heirs. Children, then heirs, heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we still suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. God, we're going to have a unique, it's a family, an awesome, wonderful relationship to you, to know you as our God and as our Savior. And that's an awesome thing. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, over to Colossians, and chapter 3. This relationship is to be exercised. Remember, we have our heavenly resources. Ephesians 1, 3, we have heavenly resources. So therefore, since we have heavenly resources, since we are sons, children, heirs, joint heirs, since we're all that, therefore, Colossians, going to say it for us again, Colossians chapter 3, picking up, please. If it's true, assumed to be true, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things in the earth. For you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with him in glory. What are we doing? We're looking to heaven. We're looking to God. We're looking to the Father to bring us heavenly risk. Our earthly Father is one thing. Our heavenly Father is another. God works from heaven. We work from earth. It's a whole other world. And we're to seek it. Abba, Father, thank you. in doing so. Now, having said that, over to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians. So Mary, be of good cheer. Acts chapter 2 is coming up. Just in a few days, Acts chapter 2 will happen, and the Spirit of God will come and save you all, and you'll know. But right now, Mary, you don't know for beans. You don't know for beans. And all I could do don't hang on to me. I'm going to have to go. Stay here. You just fool around what you're going to do. I'm going to make it work for you. That's what God, I've said to myself. Us humans are doing what we're doing, fooling around. And God was supposed to be trusting you as my God and Savior, my Father. But we don't. We don't. So God says, all right, go ahead and do what you're doing. Go do what you're doing, and I'll see what I'm going to do, how I'm going to do it. Therefore, 2 Corinthians, God, what are we going to know? Wonderful. Chapter 6, verse 14, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion, fellowship, hath light with darkness? What concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel, an unbeliever? Verse 16, and what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. You have a unique relationship as children. Also the home, the house, the housing. Temple, you become the temple of God. My God and your God. For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. That's what he said. I'm going to be God to Israel, Jehovah. I'll be your God. His Elohim, God. But I'll be your God. I'll be special. God, here we are on planet Earth. God, everyone is under your. You're the creator. You're the father of it all. You're the savior of it all. But here the believers are, and they have a special, special relationship to you. They're able to come to you in a very special way and have all of the benefits that you bring as God, the Father, not God, God. You come to me as God. You are God. You are my God, our God, but you are our Father, God, and you're going to be special Father in all of the benefits, in all of the relationship, the life, the love, the Lordship. Wow. Now, so keep going. Verse 17, wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. I'll be a father to you. That's what I'm going to do. Now, either you're going to honor me like that, think of Hebrews doing it, Sunday school, walk, Enoch walked with God. God, that's what you want. I want you to walk pleasing in my sight. To be able to go, God, and just enjoy our trip on planet Earth. Not without, God, maybe you'll make this happen. No. Just sit under the tree like we shared years ago when the big tree was there. Sit under the tree and let God be God. And just enjoy. You don't do anything. You didn't say anything. Nothing. Just God. To bathe yourself in the presence. To find yourself in the presence of God. How so? My Father. My Father. Mary, it's going to happen. But until then, you're one sorry critter. Looking for a cemetery and to bring flowers. And all you have is your memories. You don't... Anyway, I got to quit. You got the idea. I hope you got a little. Our Father in God, we thank you. Thank you very, very, very much. Thank you, God, that everything's so special beyond our words and our language and our understanding. God, that you'd be our Father, and that we'd be able to enjoy you as our God. God the Father, that's right. To be able just, God, this, you're it. And then you're it in a special way to make it a most personal, most precious relationship, eternal, safe, secure, satisfying. God, thank you. Thank you very much. In Christ's name, amen.